If only Spencer would have stuck around for that dang dinner. We would have taken a night. He could have been almost all the way home to Bozeman. Hello, Addison.
You somehow got really pumped really fast, y'all. We're filming this at the, as I like to say, the butt crack of dawn. It's actually not that early. It's 8 a.m. Let me preface. But Billy, you turned it on. Congrats.
If you can't feel it for real, just fake it. No, I feel good. This was a really interesting episode. I don't know if it was a great iconic episode, like one that people are going to be talking about for years to come. But there were a lot of things that happened. A ton of discussion about this episode on all of our different platforms. I'm really excited to dive into it.
This episode, every character was touched on, and I think that there was movement for every character. And this comes off the heels of episode 3, where you and I were both like, we didn't even see Alex. You know, we saw a lot of Elizabeth, and but it just kind of felt slower. This one, the whole time, I was like, okay, like, so what's going to happen with Spencer? Okay, what's going to happen with Elizabeth? Okay, Zane is having his brains cut into. There was a lot happening.
We were missing one character, though.
Who?
We didn't see Clyde this episode.
I think
minute 30. That's a new record for a Clyde mention. Just want to put that up there.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay. He now listens to this podcast, and I don't want to. He is an important character, but he's not for the fact of is Alex gonna keep her baby? I just didn't need him in this episode.
I think he's coming on strong. He's coming on strong soon.
I agree. But that will be when we're more so worried about the Dutton Ranch and what's actually going to happen and when the action ensues there. Then he becomes an integral role. I don't disagree. Yep. But before we get into everything, I'm like, all right, move along. Let's talk about trivia. What was the question last week? I do not remember.
For one of the t-shirts from the Y collection at tasteofcountrystore.com, you can check out a full array of Yellowstone Dutton rules related merchandise there. One of those great Y collection t-shirts for the first person who answered this question: what book was Alex reading to convince the immigration official she was worthy of being let into America?
And it was what?
Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Now, I tried to figure out the exact passage she was reading, and I don't know if I can nail that down. It looks like she kind of bounced around a little bit.
I agree.
But it was for sure Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. And a big congratulations to Ashley. Ashley, first one in today. She knew it within minutes. She got so many right answers. This was probably the most answered trivia question that we've ever had.
Oh, that's
which is a stark contrast to 2 weeks ago when we had nobody with the right answer.
Yeah, I definitely was not expecting that.
No, it was kind of an easy one to Google. And find out pretty quickly, but Ashley was first with the fast fingers, so she gets one of those t-shirts. And you gotta be the first in at staff@tasteofcountry.com to win.
I also want to encourage y'all, for the winners of trivia, go on and tag us on Instagram at Taste of Country. I'll definitely keep an eye out on our Instagram stories and stuff and repost you, because that's fun.
This week's trivia question is as follows. This is a fun one. And I know I already shared the answer with you, so pretend. Which 1923 cast member had not one, not two, but three number one hits in his or her home country? And a clue is that one of these songs was the most played song of 1995.
It's a pretty baffling answer.
It is. This was delightful to find this gem of you know, it's kind of almost like an old yearbook photo of a Hollywood actor. You know, you find it, it's like, oh my gosh, they looked like that. Or oh my gosh, they did that. This is almost like that kind of little time capsule for this person. Who's a significant character in 1923. This isn't I'm not talking about Christie, the prostitute. It's not her. It's someone who is legitimately, we talk about it every week. But again, staff@tasteofcountry.com, tasteofcountrystore.com to check out the full Y collection t-shirts and offerings.
Let's jump in to episode 4, which it was, I love the way that they title their episodes. is so, I just, so this one was called Journey, the Rivers of Iron. Man, they're, it just so good.
Okay, so you're going to have to expand on that a little bit, because I saw that title and I watched the episode and I did not understand what that meant. And I still don't know what that meant, even though some people have kind of tried to explain what that means in the comment section. I'm still like, that just seemed like someone just pulled some word, put some word salad together.
What makes us sound smart and eloquent?
It's not even grammatically correct, but go
Chat
on.
ChatGPT.
Explain the title for me, because I was very confused.
I kind of felt like, okay, river is always running, right? There's always movement. But iron to me feels like, okay, so it's like iron sharpens iron. It's something that's hard, but refining. And so for me, I felt like it's this action, all the characters in this episode, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot that's happening. There's a lot of terror, but it's all refining of each character.
Okay.
I didn't love that answer, but that's okay. I stay with my thoughts.
I don't.
But I was like, no, great. There's no wrong answers, but that was kind of wrong.
No. I don't. I think it was wrong. It just didn't. It didn't. Like, I still don't know what it. You could be right, but there's nothing like out there in like the industrial production, or it has to do with cattle farming or something that actually like is referred to as a river of iron.
Heard. I'm Googling some stuff.
All right. I don't know if that's the case or not, but you're right. Everybody kind of got a little bit of a path forward.
Yes, I would
Addison,
like to,
in the back. Go ahead.
Okay, the imagery of this was a quick Google search, evokes a sense of exploration, resilience, and the human drive to understand the unknown. Often, well, anyways, I just like that one sentence.
Okay, fair enough. There have been some other kind of poetic titles too. Wrap Thee in Terror, I think.
Yes, it was episode 3.
I think there was one called The Killing Season.
Yes.
What was the one? Like Winter is a Rapist? Like,
correct.
That one, I don't know about.
that one felt a little.
That one needed the woman's touch. I'm just going to say that.
Oh,
that
it's The Rapist is Winter. That's what it was.
Not much better. But yeah. I feel like there needed to be a woman in the room when they were like, hey, guys, that's not bad, but maybe we can just soften a smidge.
Here's how we could workshop that.
Yeah. Where do you want to begin, though?
Let's begin kind of at the beginning with Whitmore. And this is where we kind of see the birth of so many different things that then pop up in Yellowstone, aka he's wanting to create this ski resort. He's wanting to create this airport that we absolutely know still is a constant theme and concern, even when we get to Yellowstone. I can't remember. There was one more thing he was wanting to create. Maybe not.
Well, the airport, the ski lodge, and then he paving the roads through Yellowstone. Whitfield. You said Whitmore. I know you meant Whitfield.
Oh, sorry. I meant Whitfield.
His plan. Yeah, so he has all of the sort of bureaucracy, which, by the way, I don't know how he assembled that many millionaires in one room in Bozeman, Montana, but whatever. And he rolls out their plan, and they're all very enthusiastic. Banner points out at the end of the scene that, hey, you got this big plan for, and you're taking money from people. We don't even own the land yet. This is Jacob Dutton's land. Mm-hmm. And Don is very confident in what he has going forward. I didn't love the ski lodge airport sort of similarities between Yellowstone because I felt a little tired, but I'm okay with it. I tell you what I did love about this scene, and someone pointed this out on YouTube. Don Whitfield's house is the same house John Dutton is killed in season 5 of Yellowstone.
I know.
The governor's mansion.
That's a wild, and that's one of those like attention to details that I'm obsessed with that I didn't necessarily, I'm going to be honest, I didn't pay attention to that, or like I didn't pick up on that until I created our YouTube video and you had said that and I was like, oh, you're so right. That's cool. That's like such an attention to detail.
It looked familiar to me, but I didn't put two to two together. Here's kind of the problem, the plot problem with it, however, is that you would think the governor's mansion would be in the capital, which is Helena in Montana. That's a good 90 miles away from Bozeman, where we are. So either Don Whitfield lives in Helena or John Dutton had sort of a governor's mansion in Bozeman. One of those things has to be true. But it has to be intended to be the same house, right? It's not like they just built one set and thought, well, no one will notice.
Because, no.
They didn't change enough.
I agree with you. But I don't think we should think too deeply into like where it's located.
How we get there, though, how it becomes a governor mansion, that intrigues me.
Like, yes, I'm excited
to find out how that comes on, ends up being on the good side of the law.
Or does it? That I can see that being a loose end that they didn't even really intend to be loose. that's not one that I'm putting that with Lugnut Boy.
Yeah. From Yellowstone. I think you're probably right. But the train station now, we learn that Donald Whitfield discovers the piece of land. Yes. Although some people have pointed out that maybe Jacob Dutton referred to dumping bodies in Wyoming at some point in season one. I don't remember that scene necessarily, but I don't know how he'd get bodies that far because it seems like it's a pretty fair distance from the ranch.
Yeah, and then they both just happen to know about it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that Whitfield was the first to find it.
I do too. It's good for this plot and for what's to come here this season, because I think we know we have an actual train station scene coming, right? From the trailer, we see
correct
Banner and my boy Clyde rolling a body, which
it could
probably
be.
Probably is. Yeah.
Yeah. You and probably, I both
we probably should tell the people. It's probably Christy, the
prostitute.
The woman, yeah, who Lindy accidentally kills.
That, which, Billy, I'm just going to say it. I'm over these half-naked women. Dark, sadistic scenes.
Agree. I don't think there's anybody watching that appreciates it. Like, you know, when you're watching these shows, like 1923, you appreciate some ugliness. Like Tiona, what happened to Tiona? The abuse of Tiona. That fit within the plot. Like you understood why you needed to see that.
Totally.
To advance the plot forward. This part, they could have found other ways to show that Donald Whitfield was evil, and I don't really know where that line of is going, but it is my least favorite thing.
It keeps showing up too. That I'm hoping maybe with the death of her, Christina, that maybe we don't see it anymore.
Yeah, I would agree there. Do you think Banner is going to turn on Whitfield?
Yes. I think it's going to take, like, I think episode 4, we saw a little bit of a pivot of his consciousness kind of coming into play of, ooh, is this right? Ugh. But I don't think we would see that until, I'm going to guess, episode 6.
Oh, yeah, much later. It could even be one of the final scenes of the season where Banner turns on him to aid the Duttons. I do think Banner's going to end up dead. And I think Whitfield will end up dead, but it could be a heroic act there on the side of Wright. Really, since kind of the get-go, when he met Donald Whitfield, he always seemed a little bit wary of him. Mm-hmm. And that has sort of sorely increased over the 12 episodes of this show that we've seen. Really good acting by Jerome Flynn to portray that. But now, that conversation he had with his wife, too, where she says, kill the prince. Mm-hmm. What if Jacob Dutton isn't the prince? What if he decides that Donald Whitfield's the prince and that's his easiest path to all the luxuries he's looking for?
I agree. Well, and can you explain that scene a little bit more for people who might not have caught on to that?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a flyby scene. He's having a conversation with his wife and he's explaining that, you know, their children could go to universities. And I feel like kind of for the better part of the season, it's felt like he's been trying to convince her what he's doing is at least justifiable, if not morally right.
Yes.
And she finally says, hey, if these things are possible, kill the prince is the word she uses because there's some castle references. But make sure you throw him far enough off the top of the wall that he doesn't come back to steal it all back. And the contact, they're talking specifically about Jacob Dutton and the ranch. I'm wondering if at some point he turns that in his head and begins to target Donald Whitfield.
I love that thought. I'm here for it.
I do too. Yeah, I do as well. I don't know if we've seen that sort of backstabbing in any Yellowstone. There hasn't. The show's lacked like a good traitor, hasn't it? Like or someone who really turns against the flow or like a surprise. Like in Yellowstone, we always thought like, there was all these wild theories that maybe Walker's character was really working for the feds or maybe Lloyd would turn on the family or something like that. We never saw anything like that.
No, like everyone who was the bad guy was the bad guy. Like, there was no questioning. I agree.
Very
with that.
Clean.
Yeah. Very clean.
I mean, Jamie maybe is the closest, but.
But you always kind of saw that. Yeah. I'm like, you always saw that coming.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Alex next. So we start off with her. We left her, I guess, in episode 3 of she's about to be attacked. Like, we see, you call him what, bowler hat guy?
Called him the bowler cap. His character name is the Alabaster Man, but yeah.
The Alabaster Man watches her go into the bathroom, which, now that I look back, I'm like, girl, you shouldn't have. I mean, she was so innocent. She didn't know. But I'm like, just hold it. Just hold it until you get on the train, maybe. You know, like, you don't need to go to the bathroom that badly. Just wait. Just wait till you get on the train. Which, unless they didn't have bathrooms on the train. But anyways, we pick up episode 4 with her being attacked in the bathroom. It was significantly more brutal than I realized. She was at first, he's trying to find the money. He finds the money, ends up beating her. And pretty much he's like, we could have had so much fun, but you're too skinny. And so just beats her up. And you mentioned this in our YouTube video, but it's definitely something that I thought about because he kicks her stomach multiple times or a few times. And immediately I was like, she's going to lose the baby. Like, she is going to lose the baby, and that's going to answer that. And then my brain started to trail of like, if she loses the baby, she's no longer as important. So she's going to die. She's not going to make it to Bozeman. Anyways, I never felt like, I think I've said this in previous episodes, I never felt like Alex was going to not make it to Bozeman. And I know that you have. And I think this episode, I was like, oh, crap. I could potentially see her not making it.
When she said everything, I think that's what we're led to believe is that somehow she knows she lost the baby.
Like a mother's intuition.
I think that's what we have to trust that it is. Like, somehow mother's intuition. Now, I don't know that we saw any evidence of it or she even had time to kind of, because she was woke up and then she was gone. She was on the deck running to the train and then she got to the car. So it was literally within the span of like 90 seconds, 2 minutes. So she wouldn't have had time necessarily to suss that out. But she seems, we're led to believe that she believes she lost the baby because it wasn't a kick, really. It was a stomp.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. So you have,
yeah,
I mean, that's two babies lost already. In this series, it's a lot of death.
Alex is just so endearing. I was thinking that when she was literally yeeting herself onto the train, I'm like, you've been through hell and back and you have so much grit. Yeah. It was just, I was like, man, I should take some notes.
A lot of people, when we had that conversation last week about who the best actor is in the series, we didn't really bring her up and I didn't put her in the poll, but a number of people have put Julia Schlaepfer.
I think she's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, she really has. And I read the headline of an interview with her that the worst is yet to come for her character, which is not encouraging.
Did you read the full article, or do you feel like that was just clickbait? Because those are out there.
I did not read the full article. It could be clickbait, but I think the source, whoever the source was, I felt comfortable. I mean, it was like a quote, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay, no, then that answers that question.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know what that means for her. But she's got a long train ride now with a family of 4, which should be a lot of fun.
Little kids in very tight quarters. I was like, no, thank you.
Well, it does seem like she's kind of got a safe space, though, in that train cabin, though, right? Like,
surely nothing
mom
else
mom and the kids.
Happen.
Exactly. Like, she can hide in there at least for a night and kind of recoup, and then maybe some things will happen on the train, but she has a hiding spot at least for a short bit.
Whew. I know. I'm looking at my notes. Well, that was depressing, but on the encouraging part, Zane has his procedure, and I made that sound because Billy – the amount of
procedure.
Times
I procedure like he was getting a wart removed,
getting some Botox. No, yeah. I literally the whole time I was like,
you're like Jack.
I was so queasy and I tried to listen to it without volume, but then I was like, wait, no, that's dumb because I need to know what's being said. So then I was like, okay, I'll close my eyes. And then I was like, gosh, it doesn't make it any better. And then he started screaming because he woke up from the chloroform. Chloroform, right?
Yep.
I still get, like, I'm genuinely, I get dizzy. I continue. You talk from here.
I loved it. I loved that whole scene.
You were messed up.
I think like primitive medicine techniques and surgeries like that are really interesting in how people improvised. It was ugly. I was actually impressed they had chloroform. I was expecting that to seem to be with him fully awake.
Same.
So that felt like a little bit of a favor that they were at least able to knock him out for a little bit. And when the doctor said he had a drill, it didn't occur to me that there weren't mechanical drills back then and it was going to be a handheld situation. And they did not shy away from showing exactly what happened. But it worked. The surgery was a success.
You know what confused me, though? Unless they did this and didn't show it. So they drill a hole in Zane's head and then they kind of just take a bandage to it and wrap it up. And I'm like, are we not putting stitches in that thing? Like, wouldn't you still be just like gushing blood? They just kind of go, all right, let's just wrap this around your head and then let's move on. And I'm like, wait, he has a literal hole in his head. Are we not? Excuse me. Pardon.
Yeah, you would have thought they would have sort of patched up that little flap of skin that he peeled back initially. But that doctor has had a day. Like, he is the MVP right now at the Dutton Ranch. Like, he saved Elizabeth from rabies. He shuffled his nerf off into the buggy. Still hasn't taken her home.
Oh.
Zane comes in, and then now he's moving to Elizabeth and what her problems are. Like, that man, he needs like a fifth or something in his Christmas card.
Well, that's the thing that we see about Elizabeth. So Elizabeth has gotten, she's getting more of a backbone. And what I mean by that is she decides, okay, you know what? I've got this. I'm going to give myself a shot. Well, she does it. And I'm still kind of confused why it hurt so badly. I mean, I understand the end result, but she gives herself the shot. She is in immense pain. Kara is like, wait, that's not normal. She goes and gets the doctor. The doctor then comes out saying, actually, there's two great things to celebrate. Obviously, Zane's surgery going well, but then also Elizabeth is pregnant.
Did not see that coming.
I have been constantly wondering if she would become pregnant again. I've always had a little inclination. And then specifically after I watched the scene with Alex, in my head, I was like, Elizabeth's got to be pregnant. And then I was right.
Yeah. No, that one blindsided me. I think the reason the doctor explains that because of the pregnancy, the rabies shot is giving her some extra cramps and causing some extra pain, but is not going to be harmful to the baby. Is how he explains it. How that actually works in real life, I have no clue, but that's how they kind of explain why the shot hurt so much for her.
Well, you know what I thought as soon as they said that she's pregnant? I was like, Billy Dukes is going to have a field day on this family tree.
Oh,
and you,
man,
did.
I did. I spent a good, what, three, four minutes, two, three, 4 minutes on it in the video.
Do you want to, yeah, explain to people the best you can. And I highly encourage y'all going to check out the YouTube video because Billy truly did a great job of showing the family tree as what we thought and then showing the family tree as what is now true since Elizabeth is pregnant. That's at Taste of Country on YouTube. But do your best to describe what we were looking at and now how this completely changes the direction.
Well, I appreciate that you started that sentence off with "Do you wanna?" As if there was any doubt that I wanted to. All right,
I don't want to assume. I want to invite you in.
Originally, we had the line to John Dutton going through Jack Dutton, and this is when we found out Elizabeth was pregnant in season one, and it made perfect sense. We had the seven generations starting with James Dutton, Tim McGraw's character, down through Tate, who is number seven. However, when Elizabeth lost the baby and we found out Alex was pregnant, it caused us to shift over a little bit and add a generation. Because if you remember, Jack and Spencer aren't brothers. That's an uncle-nephew relationship. So the only way to get to seven is if there was another generation between Spencer and John Dutton Sr. who I'm calling him, Dabney Coleman's character. So that was kind of the thread we were on. And now with this episode, with Alex potentially losing the baby and Elizabeth pregnant again, everything shifts back over to kind of where we were, where Elizabeth and Jack are in line once again to be the father of Dabney Coleman's John Dutton. Mm-hmm. That would make them Kevin Costner's grandfather. And either way sort of works. It all kind of depends on how old you think Dabney Coleman's character was when he died, either around 75 or around 95. He could have been either, honestly, because, you know, he looked pretty old after 75 years on a ranch. Mm-hmm. Or he could have legitimately been 95. But I'm not convinced we're done, though. You know, we could have two more miscarriages and two more pregnancies in the next 4 weeks. And
it's not going to be Alex, though. I really don't think we're going to see both of them make it to.
Well, I think it'll. Here's why I think it'll be one or the other. Because back in the fall, I talked to Michelle Randolph for Landman, mm-hmm. and I asked her at the very end a little bit about 1923, and I asked her if she knew how that thread to the John Dutton works, and she said she was pretty sure. So I think it becomes clear here by the end of this. I don't think there's going to be, like, timeline-wise, I don't think we'll get any pregnancy to term and we'll end up with, like, a baby in arms. But one woman will survive and a baby will be born and after the show ends, is my thinking. But the good news of all this is Elizabeth is going to stay, right? Now Jack and Elizabeth are back together. She's no more moody Elizabeth. She's happy again.
It didn't take much. Just a child.
Kara had the same reaction. She's like, well, that is the best news these ears have heard. It's like, well, you said that last time. She has a lot of repeat lines. This is a hard winter. That's the best news these ears have heard. It's a hard winter.
Hey, you know, when you're living in the middle of nowhere, you might not have much in that toolbox.
Yeah. Spencer seems to be slowly traveling. Can I ask you a question before we get into Spencer?
Yeah.
Give me like a halfway through the season review on this season. Like where?
On Spencer specifically?
No, on the whole season two of 1923. Like a midpoint review. Like in broad scopes.
Grade it?
Yeah, sure. Give me out of that. Give me a grade.
I'd give it an A-. I loved season one. I love the action between Julia and Spencer, and obviously we stayed so much on them. Where season two, obviously we're focused more on the Dutton Ranch, as we should be, because we need to finally figure out like where that goes to lead us into Yellowstone. I mean, as we know, but still the backstory. A-, because I've just kind of felt like Spencer's scenes have been dragging. Jacob Dutton kind of is not really prevalent. Like he hasn't really done much outside of the first episode. He hasn't done much. I'd say A-.
Yeah, Jacob Dutton's was like his lone role last week was as the comic foil to Elizabeth and Kara as they announced the pregnancy.
Yes.
I might go a little lower, maybe a B plus or to a B, and primarily for the same reason is that it's just taken a long time. We're getting a bit of a world tour here, and I don't know necessarily if that's necessary at this point now that we're 12 seasons in. I wish Spencer and Alexandra were on the brink of being in Montana, and frankly, I think we're probably two episodes away, and I'm not sure which one gets there first.
Yeah.
Or even if they both get there.
Yeah.
So that's my main. I could deal with the Don Whitfield stuff if the show moved along a little quicker. Like, just Whitfield's perversions wouldn't take this show out of the A range for me. Like, I'd allow that, but come on. At every turn, Spencer. If only Spencer would have stuck around for that dang dinner, none of this bad things would have happened to him. If he would have taken a night, he could have been almost all the way home to Bozeman. But now everywhere he turns, he's getting into trouble.
Yeah, can you explain, let's paint the picture of he's walking along in Fort Worth, and the police stop him.
The sheriff gets him and forces him into the car, says basically, I'll take you to the train station. He lies, because we find out that they had a conversation with Luca after that shootout on the street where Luca was killed, and Luca presumably told the sheriff to look out for the hunter. So they catch him, and they want him to continue taking the booze up to Fort Worth, and they're going to enact a sting on the company that's receiving the booze. And that's exactly what happens. Spencer does it. He survives the shootout and runs away on foot and ends up on a freight train where he runs into the tax collector, a little girl, I believe. That was a girl?
Yeah. That's what I took from it.
A little girl and another man on a freight train who are going to cause him all sorts of grief. I've never been so sure of someone's death than the tax collector and that other man.
Same. I'm like, dude, you don't know who you're messing with. Your days are numbered. Just shut up. Just shut up and let him sleep on the cart.
I enjoyed that scene. I enjoyed the character. I cannot figure out who the actor was. Like, there's a lot of theories. Someone suggested it was James Jordan, who has been a ton of different things. I don't think that's quite right, but he's not in the credits, so I don't know who the actor was.
Yeah, it's hard because I've been watching the screener version. I know you're watching the actual, like, on Paramount Plus. And anytime I try to pause to see in credits, it goes to the main screen. So every time I'm like, I can't pause and just see what I'm trying to pause on.
I hadn't tried that. I was just looking at the end credits. Maybe I'll give that a try later.
That's what I've been wanting to, because I wanted, which we can talk about in a minute, and this statement probably will not surprise you, just more so make you laugh. Tiona, when they are sitting with the cowboys, and the cowboy that gets like two lines, I'm like, you handsome, who are you? Anyways, that's it. And I couldn't figure
Did you figure out who it was? Because sometimes those cowboys are like real rodeo guys.
No, I haven't. I'm going to be honest, I didn't deep dive. But he had enough of a line that I was like, you seem like you could be someone. Anyways,
yeah.
But we can talk about Tiona next and not my love for a random actor.
Well, I did the same thing with Tarred and Feathered Woman.
You did.
Because then that ended up being some supermodel athlete actor person that I never really heard of. But it was such a bizarre sort of turn for Spencer. I don't know if some people suggested he was just creating some confusion to aid his escape. And maybe that's it. But I don't know. The whole thing was kind of odd. See someone actually tarred and feathered.
I'm like, that once again, a scene that we could have done without.
So now we have Spencer on foot once again. No idea where he is. I think he's still in Texas, maybe near Texas.
And the terrain screamed Texas for me.
Okay. Well, we're getting near Texas, Oklahoma. And I think we still could have the Spencer and Tiona meetup, right? This is something I've kind of thought it's going to happen for a long time. Like, that could still sort of be a thing, but I think it'll happen next week if we get it.
Well, and I'm currently Googling to figure out if I can figure out that cowboy, but walk people through. And I agree with you. Well, yes, I do agree with you. I'm a little leery of how Tiona's episode ends, or like scene ends with all the wanted signs, but fill people in on kind of where she is at this point. I don't think I realized that she was, and they were with the cowboys herding the cattle.
Yeah, at the end of the previous episode, that was the dad's plan, and he gets permission to. So they team up with them, and they're herding cattle and having a great day working. So it seems like things are going well. But then they end up being at the rodeo, and she looks up in the grandstands and sees all the posters that Marshall Kent and Father Renault have put up. And they quickly realize they got to hit the road and get out of there. And that's kind of the end scene for them. So I think the blissful season that Tiona's enjoyed is going to come to a rapid end, likely next week. And I think Marshall, Mamie Fawcett, and Spencer very likely will have a role in how that turns out for her.
I agree. I don't see her being killed, though.
No, I don't either, because she's got to have a child that ends up being Thomas Rainwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with you. It was a big episode. You're right. Everybody had a little something going on. Everybody but right? Jacob and Clyde had something
yeah, going on. Jacob and Clyde weren't as prominent, but yeah, I liked it. it kept me entertained.
So to the point about Clyde, and we've mentioned this in previous episodes, but we've had a chance to do some really good cast interviews. You got a chance mm-hmm. to talk to Julia Schlaepfer and Michelle yeah. Randolph, and mm-hmm. those are both in past episodes of this podcast. I had a chance to talk to Brian Conowall. And that's going to come the week of the 31st, that podcast. You'll find
I've loved it.
That. Yeah, that fairly long conversation. I think we talked for a good 25, 30 minutes.
You know who we still haven't interviewed? Helen or Harrison?
Or Spencer. We haven't talked to Brendan Splinter
or Spencer. And I was supposed to. And he and Darren Mann. Wait, have we talked to him?
No, we haven't talked to Darren Mann. We did have a little time with Harrison on the front end before season one. Sterling talked to him for a little bit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was kind of a group thing. But yeah, we got a little clips with them.
I'm ready for Q&A.
Yeah, staff@tasteofcountry.com. That's how you get a hold of us. Questions, comments. Love your conspiracy theories. There have been some fantastic ones lately. I want to do just a wild conspiracy theories episode at some point because there's some really good stuff. But I think we'll probably hit on them here, a couple of them anyway, in this Q&A section.
All right, the first one is from Jerry on X, who says, I think Alex will be Whitfield's next new girl to replace the dead one. Oh, that's interesting.
So I also got Michelle on YouTube saying the same thing, and they're not alone. This is maybe one of the leading conspiracy theories. Alex training into Montana. Lindy's got to go to town to get a new girl, right? Because Whitfield told her to. What if those paths intersect?
Uh-huh.
The problem is, right now, Alex is headed to Billings, and Lindy's presumably in Bozeman, so, that's a fair distance apart. I don't know necessarily that they would get there, but I do believe there's going to be some sort of Whitfield and Alex. I don't know if I believe it. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. Whitfield and Alex somehow know each other, or they interact, or there's some sort of, Spencer has to defend her and save her. I feel like there could be something there. But the new theory is that they kidnap Alex and try to make her the new sex slave.
I'm going to marinate on that one and continue.
You do not like that. You do not
I don't
like
love that.
That.
But interesting that a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
The next one is from Miss Tennessee 2592 on YouTube. Alrighty. In the first few minutes of season one, episode one, the voiceover is Isabel May. She says, my father had three children. Only one would live to see their own children grow. Only one would carry the fate of this family through the depression and every other hell the 20th century hurled at them. The voiceover foreshadowed the next two seasons. Spencer is the one living child who comes back, seeks out, hunts down, and kills their enemies.
So I'm going to blow your mind here with a new thought on this clip, because this speaks to the family tree.
Correct.
The idea of how we get to John Dutton. And the idea was only one lives deep into the 20th century to see their children grown. And the problem with that is we quickly decided it couldn't be John Dutton because he died, right? So he does not live to go deep into the 20th century and all the hells. He did see one of his children grown. But he wouldn't qualify both parts of that statement.
Correct.
What if Elsa was saying only one will live to see their own children, only one will carry the fate of the family? What if that's not the same one? What if one is going to see the children grown and one is going to carry the family through the John seeing the children grown?
There's commas in that statement.
Well, periods. There's periods.
Or periods, sorry.
Is how I hear it anyway. But anyway, Spencer being the one who lives to see get into the 20th century. What if that's the intent of that? Because that makes a lot of things work, including this little nugget that is found on IMDb, episode 7. If you look into the cast.
Okay.
Spencer, it says an actor, I forget his name, plays 1969 Spencer.
Interesting.
This would allow Spencer to not have kids, right? This would, if Alex, Spencer never has kids, Alex ends up losing the baby. That would allow for that because John satisfy that first part of her statement.
Interesting.
Well, alternate reading there. I hadn't thought about that until recently, but I feel like that could be could be the case.
The next one I have for us is from James, who says, now that 75% of 1923 is over, in which episode do you think Spencer and Alex arrive at the Yellowstone, and will they arrive in the same episode? I honestly don't think we're going to see Alex and Spencer arrive until episode 8, the last episode. But I think Spencer, I think he arrives last. I don't think they arrive together.
I think 6 for Spencer, 7 for Alex.
Ooh, okay.
That's my
prediction. Then 8, we have time to marinate with them together?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
The next one from YouTube says, what do we think is going to happen to Jacob and Kara at the end of the season? I feel like people have only been talking about the fate of all the characters. Do we think they're going to live?
No, I don't think Jacob's going to live.
Oh, okay.
I think Kara may, but I think one of them will die.
Wow.
In that battle, in that fight scene. Yeah, they are almost non-main characters, which is super interesting because they're the biggest.
They're huge stars.
Exactly. But he's right. It's been they've been a little bit more scenery in a lot of ways so far this season. I think one dies.
Two more for us. British expat 5862 says, I'm going to say something controversial, but I think Jack dies and all this will be... will it be Alex or Spencer who doesn't make it to us look away from Jack?
Yeah, kind of confusing verbiage there.
That was a lot of...
needed a comma, but he's saying that all the focus on Alex and Spencer is making us look away from Jack, when really it's Jack who's going to be the one who dies.
Yeah.
This has been a light Jack season, right?
No, I agree. He's just kind of there.
He is. And we haven't really even hypothesized what his role would be beyond this season. So, controversial? I don't know if it's controversial. Yeah, interesting. That's a new take. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. But definitely possible. Making us look away from him, and then boom, he hits the tragedy. He certainly wants to be a part of that big battle, so there's going to be an opportunity for him to get killed.
The last one I have for us is from He-Man 7052-5, who says, as much as BD, which is Billy Dukes for those who might not know, wants to see how the family tree plays out, I'm excited at all the possibilities we see the brand come into play or the sporting club that Casey refers to in season 4.
So far we don't have the Yellowstone brand, right? There's no big Y on the barn yet, is there? Maybe there is.
Was branding as much a thing back then? I don't know. Okay.
I think so. Yeah, I think what he's getting at is that the excited to kind of see like how the path to how the Yellowstone Ranch becomes sort of like this dominant force in Paradise Valley. And even if the brand's real, it's not a strong brand yet.
Right.
How we get there. And I think the way we get there is that at the end of this, Jacob Dutton ends up with more than he has right now. Somehow he acquires some of Donald Whitfield's assets at the end of this. But how that happens isn't clear. You know, what's interesting about Jacob Dutton is like John Dutton, Kevin Costner had like a grit to him, like where he did bad things and you understood it in his character. Whereas Jacob Dutton seems a little bit kind of at times goofy and fun and silly. It's hard to imagine him doing some of the evil things that John Dutton did later on down the road. But I think he probably will at some point.
No, I agree. He seems a little bit more tender.
I guess he did try to hang Banner. That wasn't very tender.
He did try to murder someone, but.
Yeah, but he failed. Well, he killed the other 4 guys, but he failed at Banner.
staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can also always leave your comments, thoughts, concerns, suggestions, conspiracy theories, also on our YouTube channel, on our videos. And you could be talked about on one of our episodes.
Yeah, big thanks to everybody who's watched the YouTube videos as well. Those are kind of a recap followed by on Thursdays, we introduce some of these questions and answers. And then on Mondays, we just do more of a hard recap of each episode. So If you like sort of a visual condensed version of this, you can find us there.
Well, Belly, I'm peacing out.
Episode 5. Look forward to whatever poetic title is being thrown at us.
Well, y'all, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone 1923 podcast is another conspiracy debunking Town Square Media podcast.
I like it.
I'm dusting off those cobwebs that were clearly there the first few episodes of us filming.